You're listening to the World Watch Weekly podcast from Open Doors Canada. On this episode, we talk about the country of Yemen and what it's like to be a Christian in the midst of an incredible humanitarian crisis. For more information about Open Doors or the World Watch List, you can visit our website at www.opendoorsca.org. Enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to the World Watch Weekly podcast from Open Doors Canada. I'm Jared, here with Andrew again today. Andrew, today we are talking about the number 8 country on the World Watch List, and that is Yemen. Now, I have prepared something a little bit different for you today, Andrew. Okay. I have a few trivia questions about the country of Yemen to test your knowledge on it before we get started.
Okay.
So,
what do I get if I get 100%?
I will be very, very impressed if you get 100%. There's four questions here.
You're impressed. Okay.
Yes.
That's quite the prize I'm competing for.
Yes. Unfortunately, we haven't seen each other in several months, so there's not a whole lot I can actually give you in terms of prizes. So we are talking about Yemen in the Arabian Peninsula, and I want your guess, Andrew. Yemen is closest in size to which Canadian province or territory?
Prince Edward Island.
Prince Edward Island. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely not even close. Yemen is 528,000 square kilometers. Closest in size is Manitoba.
Oh, I didn't realize Yemen was that big.
Yeah. Do you know what? I actually was surprised as well. Manitoba is 554,000 square kilometers.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm already gone.
Yeah. So I feel like that has to do, Andrew, with the fact that when we look at a lot of world maps, Yemen is right in the middle, which tends to be the most compressed area on a map, and Canada's up at the top, which tends to be really stretched out.
Yes, fair enough.
Flat map, so you think it's a lot smaller than it is. So based on that, now that you know that, question two, I want your best guess as to the population of Yemen.
Oh, yeah, I can do this. The population of Yemen is...
Did you have it right in front of you?
No, I don't. Okay. I just got to do a little math in my head here. It's about 30 million.
Oh, that's so close. I wondered if this had maybe come up in your research for this episode. So, yeah, it's about 27.5 million people.
Oh, okay.
Very, very close.
You know why I thought Prince Edward Island for the last one? Because I mixed up Yemen with Qatar.
What?
In terms of on the map, I'm picturing them on the map, and I was thinking Yemen was really small, like Qatar.
I see. Yes, Yemen is significantly larger than Qatar. Okay, question three. This, again, may have come up when you were reading some research for this episode, but in case it didn't, what is the capital city of Yemen? And if you have no idea, I have multiple choice for you. But if you know it off the top of your head, that would be even better.
Oh, goodness. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. I'll give you three options. The capital of Yemen, is it A, Muscat, B, Sana'a, or C, Manama? I totally apologize if I am butchering the pronunciation of any of those words.
Sana'a?
Yes, Sana'a is correct. Okay, I've got one final question for you. In the Bible, which biblical character comes from what is now modern-day Yemen?
Oh, goodness. I don't have any clue.
No guess?
No.
Okay. The correct answer, there's a predominant scholarly view, and I have to confess, I didn't know about this before I was doing research for this episode, so this is strictly my understanding, but the modern consensus is that the ancient Arabian kingdom of Saba, otherwise known as Sheba, is located in the South Arabian Peninsula in modern-day Yemen. So the Queen of Sheba, who visited King Solomon, came from the kingdom of Saba in the South Arabian Peninsula. Interesting fact for the day.
There you go. Well, let's jump into talking about persecution in Yemen. When war broke out in March of 2015, Yemen was already one of the poorest countries in the Middle East. Now, 5 years into a civil war, the situation is dire. More than 3 million have had to flee their homes. Most of them are now internally displaced people. There are extreme shortages of food, water, and healthcare. There have even been deadly epidemics of preventable diseases like cholera and diphtheria. All of this has led Yemen to being the largest humanitarian crisis in the world. According to UNICEF, more than 24 million people in Yemen, that's 80% of the population, are in need of humanitarian assistance.
Wow.
And all of that was before COVID-19. Finding functioning healthcare facilities is incredibly hard, as more than half of the facilities are shut down. And if you do find a functioning one, it is not likely to have enough supplies. Yemen is in crisis mode.
Yeah, now imagine, Andrew, for a moment that you were living in the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. You had a shortage of food and water. You are susceptible to disease. Feels awful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But consider something else for a second. You're a Christian. You used to be a Muslim, but when you found Christ, you became a target for authorities, a target for radical Islamic groups. And not only that, your family wants nothing to do with you. Some Christian converts are killed by their family when they find out. You are only banished. But when you converted, you were married with two children, but your spouse divorced you and took custody of the children. You had no recourse because you're a Christian. You can start to see the difficulty for the average Yemeni is increased because you're a Christian. But there's more yet. You've lost your family. You're a target for radicals. You've been banished because of your faith. But at least you can get relief aid for the hunger and thirst, but you're a Christian. And since relief aid is often distributed by Islamic organizations, you've heard they're discriminating against all who are not considered devout Muslims. You begin to get a picture of what it's like for Christians in Yemen.
You know, I recently read an article written by a Yemeni believer who's living outside of the country, is part of the diaspora. The article is about COVID-19 and Yemen. And here are some of the quotes he had from believers inside the country. One believer said, "My work as a home goods vendor was affected by the spread of this virus. Despite this pressure, I feel that God is with me and my family, and I'm confident that his doors won't close even when others do." Another believer, a sister, said this, "Even in light of the difficult conditions we're facing, we feel that the Lord Jesus is with us. We feel his mercy and closeness to us. A lot of people complain about emptiness and boredom because of the need to stay at home more. But I found it to be a valuable opportunity to pray, draw closer to God, and feel the affection of his hand outstretched to his children."
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a challenge for us too, considering this came from a believer who faces such incredible hardships just because of their faith.
Yeah, and this is how the author finished the article with his own quote. It says this, "When I hear from my brothers and sisters inside Yemen, it gives me courage and strength in face of the ongoing quarantine in the country where I'm living now. I also feel a strong burden to pray for them, as I know they will fight the battle against COVID-19 with far fewer earthly resources than most countries around the world. Let us stand in prayer with our brothers and sisters in Yemen in these days, even as they stand with us." You know, I think that's quite the challenge for us as believers. You know, isolation and the pandemic has been hard on us, but we have access to healthcare and we're blessed with so much stuff.
Yeah.
And you can only imagine what it's like for our brothers and sisters in Yemen. So I think it would be good to take up the challenge of our brother and to pray for our brothers and sisters in Yemen. And I think it would be a good time to do that. So let's talk about how we can pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Yemen.
Yeah. So let's pray for an end to the war in Yemen so that the situation in the country will improve.
Let's also pray that God will provide the aid needed to Christians in Yemen who are overlooked.
And of course, we'll pray for protection and health for the believers there. We'll hope that they'll be sustained so that they can be salt and light for Christ.
Before you pray, Jared, I want to read a prayer written by a believer in Yemen. It says this, "Lord our God, allow us to discern your times. We are conscious of your sovereignty, and we understand the privilege of being your children. We understand that we are in the land to honor you, to be a witness of your love and forgiveness. Give us courage and determination to continue standing in your name and on your promises. Bless our children and help us to be an example to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I hope those words will challenge us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Yemen, and to pray for the things that they are praying for. Now, Jared, would you pray for our persecuted family in Yemen?
Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for the church in the country of Yemen. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who are there shining a light in the darkness. Lord, we thank you that you have granted them the privilege to be your reflections on earth. God, we want to pray for their protection and for their health. We ask that you would take care of your children in the midst of the pandemic and also just in the midst of such incredible humanitarian crises. Lord, we ask that there would be peace in the country and that war would end so that there could be stability, both economically and socially. And Lord, that just the situation as a whole in the country would improve. During the times of disease and sickness, Lord, we pray that the aid that's being distributed would be distributed fairly, and that, Lord, our persecuted family would not be left out, but rather that they would be given the supplies and the food to survive during this time. Lord, we trust you. We ask for your protection in all of these things. And we thank you in advance for the miracles that you will do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. As always, we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast, rate it, share it with someone else so that more people can learn how they can be praying for our persecuted family around the world. If you do have questions, we encourage you to email them to podcast@odcan.org so that we can do a mailbag episode coming up in the future. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of World Watch Weekly from Open Doors Canada. For more information on how to pray for our persecuted family, please visit our website, www.opendoorsca.org. Click Get Involved, and then click Prayer.